over this time, we like at Christmas time, sorry, Easter time, to be thinking about what's happened, about how Jesus has come back from the dead, bringing hope and new life to us all. And the words which we've been looking at today, I think, should be on the screen now. These are the words which Jesus said at the end of Matthew's Gospel. I often ask for help reading passages, and I'm going to ask you to do that again. Let's say all these words together. Therefore, go. Now, you may have noticed lots of important words in there. Another one important word is being a disciple. That means being somebody who follows Jesus, setting out to live your life like him. But I'm not focusing on that word today. Another important part of teaching, of understanding, is the need to understand, to obey the message that we're commanded in the scriptures. Very, very important. But again, that's not my main theme this evening as well. And we also have the promise that he will be with us in all of our struggles and difficulties. At the same time, I'm not going to be focusing on that. Today, I want us to focus on this particular point here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why do we focus on that particular thing as Christians? You may, as a Christian, if you are a believer, already have some sense within you that perhaps there was a point where you made some kind of response. I know for me, as a Christian, it was when my mum challenged me. I've been going along to church, I've been reading a lot and thinking it through, but she said, "So do you really believe this or not?" And I had to say, yes. That was something quite concrete and real, but it was also fairly private too. It didn't mean a lot to lots of other people, only me. You might have a similar point in your life, or you might be approaching it right now. It could be that you've got some kind of vague sense that, yes, I'd like to be a Christian, but it's not marked at any particular point that I could say. It's maybe been there right before you could even think about it. But you can't put your finger on any one thing. It may be you've not reached that point at all and you're still thinking about it. But by the end of this conversation, it's actually possible that you may have already changed your mind. Baptism is the particular thing which the Bible has given so that we can show a public statement that we believe and trust and follow Jesus. This is what we can do to take whatever is going on in your heart and in your thoughts and in your faith and make this public and say, "This is me now. I am one of them. I'm one of those Christians." And I'd love you to be thinking about what that means. You can really, I suppose, think about it two angles, if you like, on the same thing. There are two steps involved in what it means to become a Christian. There are two aspects of the same turn of one coin, if you like. We call them repenting and believing. Repenting and believing. So let me try to explain the first of those things. The verse as well appear on the screen is another one that's quite useful. We need to repent and be baptized. This came up in the first ever sermon ever done by the church, where it was said, "Repent," let's say it together, "repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." So we need to make this kind of change. It's a turning away. It's a leaving behind of things that were across. Now, I'd like you to think about that. What's wrong about you? What's wrong in your life? I'm sure there are plenty of good things too. There's something good about all of us, of course. But where have things gone wrong? What have you broken? What have you made dirty? Where have you sinned, is a word we often call it, isn't it? Think about it. I'm going to ask you in a moment. Maybe you're even willing to say. I'll tell you one of mine, shall I? This is probably the one that really gets to me. And that is that I'm so proud about myself. My own spiritual purity. Self-righteous. Has anybody ever thought of yourself as being self-righteous? I was certainly very, very self-righteous. As a teenager, I used to look down upon others, particularly if they tried one of those cigarettes. Oh, how pathetic you are. Those little drinks that you used to like, ha, pathetic. I can have a laugh without any of that drink. That was the kind of person I was. I needed to repent. I needed to be rid of that particular part of my character, of my nature. I wonder, is there any aspect of your life you're willing to say? I mean, it might be, for example, there's things that you like watching. You just love those things which appear on your screen, on the TV, wherever it might be, things that... Oops. Sorry, is that better? Are you getting anywhere now? No. Better? So maybe you look at the screen and there's things you don't want to see. And you want rid of them. You want it out of your heart and your mind. Well, where else? What else might need to go? What else might be your problem? Maybe it's in the deepest part of your heart, your mind, your soul. I'm just going to talk like this now. Can you hear me? When there's things that you love which should not be there. There's a God that you shouldn't be worshipping, and you do your own little God that you find out there in the world. He's small, but there's something better and nicer that you want to be top. Maybe it's the way you view other people in your family. You're always cross, fed up, and angry with them. You want more from them. They should be giving you more, and they're not giving you enough. Perhaps there's other things that are really shouldn't be so good. The way you so love what you eat and drink. And I don't mean just the pleasant things that we're meant to enjoy. Of course we're meant to enjoy good things. But the things you really indulge and you want to get rid of them. And yet they hold on to you. You just want more and more and more. Or that money. That money, you so love it. You really, really want it because so much comes from that money and it thrills you. I'm top. And others can look up to me. Isn't that magnificent? Or perhaps it's coming top in your course because I can look at myself and say, yes, I am the best. I am the top. All kinds of things. Maybe it's the anger and biting that you show to other people, the words that you use, that you cut, and you just want to live it behind. You just want to get rid of it. You just want to throw it away. The Bible says, repent and believe, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that these things no longer curse you, destroy you, and damage you. So what can happen instead? Well, instead of repenting, you can believe, you can positively put your life into something so much better, so good. Now, this is quite difficult and complicated because sometimes the Bible talks about God and it talks about a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. Not just one blob of God, but if you like, the persons. God who loves us in different dimensions. There's different ways in which we can think about that. I'm not going to try and explain it all today. But one way we can think about God is as the Father. That's a Father who loves and cares for us in spite of all of these wicked things which I've been talking about. In spite of that, there are no surprises for him. He so cares about us that he would give his own son, willing to die for us, to pay the price of what we've done. This God is so willing to do these things. And that goes right down to the very heart of who we are. The things we love, the things we care about, those things which stand between us and God. He loves us so much to sweep these things away. It's as if we're washed clean, completely and perfectly, fresh and new. And it's the love of our God who does that. He is like a father to us. And we are like his children. We deserve nothing and we've gained nothing. Yet he's given this to us. What did he do? He gave Jesus. He sent Jesus to take our place that we might be clean for him. And we can trust in that wonderful thing, knowing that we are forgiven, whoever we might be, whatever we might deserve. How wonderful to think that's who you are now because of Jesus. What God has done, the Father. This is what God the Father said. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name, trusting in his love. But we also learn about the God that we can love in another way. We find out that he is also our brother, our friend. Not only has he died for us, but he lives alongside us. And he grants us to be a new member of the family. Not like servants who are allowed to be crept in and sit in the corner, but actually to come and sit at the very front, if you want. And it's amazing, amazing privilege. Here are some more words which will help us to understand that. Let's read these together. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through the faith.
For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
Now that's amazing, isn't it? You now think that you are actually part of the family. You belong. What an amazing thought. You own the right, if you like, to be part. Now, there's actually a number of different things that come from that. First and foremost, that we are seen as being good people, even though we're not. What a fantastic thought. I'm not a good person. I'm not like that. And yet, that's what he's chosen to look at me and see. He looks at me and he sees I'm like Jesus. I'm part of a wonderful family. I hope that's true for you. If not, you can be. There's all kinds of other dimensions to that as well. For a start, you have to go through trial and difficulty in life. And boy, there are going to be some. However well your life goes, there are going to be troubles and difficulties and trials. There will be problems against you because you are a Christian, as well as all the things that just go on from being a human being. Life is going to be hard. But knowing that you have put your faith in Jesus means that he is there with you. That he will be alongside you in the struggles and difficulties of life. And we share in that same life together. As well as that, it means that every kind of person is ready to be here. This isn't just something for those of us who have come from a sort of English kind of background. It doesn't matter what country you come from. It's fantastic for us to see people here this evening who are from Africa, from Asia, from all around the world. I'm pleased to see people here today who've lived in the streets as well as in universities. People who've worked hard doing everyday jobs as well as people who've been doing the highest levels of jobs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we all belong now. What a wonderful promise we have. Part of this family of Christian. Believe and be baptized as a son of God. It's not just the Father, though. And it's not just the Son. It's not just the Father looking over us and the Son standing alongside. It's also the Spirit of God as well. And that's our final verses here. Let's read these verses and then that little bit at the end together. Repent and be baptized,
every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now this, if you like, is God within. The Father is God above. The Son is the Father alongside. The Spirit is God within. And that means the way you start to feel changes too. So, for example, the love that you feel from God isn't just a theoretical idea that you heard reading it in a book somewhere, but it's actually something that feels real and alive and powerful. What else? Well, there could also be perhaps it's the way that you live your life. The things which used to trap you and hold you, you can now actually start to change and leave them behind and discover that you're able to live a different style of life altogether, trusting and believing in good things, not bad things. It may mean that you can look at yourself and see things which were helpful to other people. Instead of always needing other people's help to you, you can now do things that will help and bless and encourage other people. And then perhaps that book you love reading. I like reading it, you've noticed that. And even if I can't read it, I get them to read it to me, have you noticed? Isn't it brilliant that these words come to life and suddenly they're alive and it's brilliant and fantastic and so good. And have you realised that you can pray now? That it's not just a hopeful thought that will bounce off the ceiling, but actually will go through to the very heart of God. He'll hear what you have to say and he will answer your prayers, and things will happen that you really weren't expecting to happen. And you'll come to this place, we call it church here, you might go to a different church or a different place, that doesn't matter, but you'll find that you're sharing something now. This is a brilliant place, that's why you come so early, and it's really hard for us to get you to leave at the end. Have you noticed that? But you belong here now, this is your place. You belong. You don't want to just wander around, you're not just a guest, you belong now. In fact, there's so many things about you, and perhaps the very heart of it most of all, we call love, don't we? We really, really care. Nothing makes you more happy than seeing those around you loved with you. And you're marked that you belong to Jesus, my Lord and my Saviour. And I'm proud to be a Christian, not because I'm good, but because Jesus has died and risen again. Hallelujah. Now then, come on, you've heard what I've been talking about. There have been no illustrations at all today, have there? But it has been a serious day today for me. And I don't do this very often. I don't normally go along and lean on people and say, you should really be a Christian, etc., etc. I try to hold back and let people make their own choice, their own decision. But today I'm not. Today I am actually, really pressing you hard. I'm trying to let you to think this through. Has the time come for you to really commit to being a Christian? Do I need to stand up and be counted? Be baptized as Jesus said to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sins and put your faith in a God from above who sends his Son. For Christ, your brother, alongside you, and the Spirit who will give you the power and strength to live a new life. If that's something that you are at all thinking about, we will not force it upon anyone, but I seriously think that you should talk it through and think it through. I'm going to hang around at the front today if you want to. Others are here. Take the opportunity now. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of you girls in the summer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise we have had today. We thank you that our sins can be left behind, washed clean. That through God, the price of our sins has been paid. That through Jesus as our friend, he is our brother, and we are part of his family together. And we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit changing us and enabling us to live a new kind of life. And if we are called to be baptized, I pray that you would challenge us to do that here and now. Amen.